Are past pains injuring your future? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Ira Warren, who was on our previous show, who found a way to overcome serious trauma in her life.
I think the past can hold so many people back. I know for me, a lot of my Christian life, I spent trying to figure out how to fix my past. How can I overcome the things that happened or the things I did? I started feeling guilt over and regret, and I was not able to advance in my life. I was stuck in this rut of just fear and torment and guilt. And it was very difficult for me to really break out of that. I tried so many things, self-help, counselors, but yet I was still injured by my past.
I think it's very easy when you have bad things, painful things. I mean, basically trauma, right? When these types of events happen in our lives, why is it that we hang on to it? It's so easy for us to not hang on to the good things. We just hang on to these things that, I mean, they become life-defining moments, you know, like, oh, I remember when such and such happened. And, you know, this is the whole thing about our lives. And the reason why is because when traumatic or painful things happen, we have a huge release of chemicals in our brain that basically say, hey, remember how this happened? We don't want it to happen again.
We're trying to protect ourselves.
We're trying to protect ourselves. And so what happens is we analyze it. We think about it. It's always plaguing our minds. We're thinking of how we can avoid the situation. So we might begin to have fears and anxieties begin to creep in because it's that constant, you know, how do I make sure this doesn't happen again?
Yeah.
Because we don't want to experience that pain. But we get into a worse off spot because we can't move forward because we're too busy looking back. So how do you deal with something like that?
You know, for me, what I finally realized is that I was trying to fix something that I could not fix because we cannot go back in time to mend things. And if we're looking in the rearview mirror, we're going to get in an accident if we're not looking forward.
Right.
And that's where I was at. So when I finally called out to Jesus and I said, help me, Lord, how do I overcome? He said to fight back, to submit myself to God. And he directed my path. So as I submitted my life to him and said, okay, God, heal me from the past so I can move forward. And I started reading the word. My mind began to get renewed. I started having new thoughts instead of wishing it was a certain way or whatever. I reconciled my past and I gave it to God, knowing that he could restore me.
You know, what's interesting about that is that what you did was you gave it away. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:6-7, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Well, that word care means like anxiety, because, you know, what do you do when you have anxiety? You try to fix it. But this says, no, humble yourself. You can't fix it. Give it to God. You gave it to God and he fixed the problem.
And he will heal your heart. He's doing new things. The Bible says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Let's hear from Ira after the break.
Real Life is made possible by people like you. We'd like to take this opportunity to sincerely thank you for your generous support. We couldn't do it without you. May God bless.
Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Light, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Light.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us once again is Ira Warren, and she's been sharing with us how she was sexually abused starting at 5 years old, got pregnant at 16 years old by her own father. And then later on, she ended up on the streets from a betrayal from her mother and got gang raped, then was diagnosed with HIV. And we're going to find out what happened. Ira, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me back.
So I understand you were gang raped and left on the streets pretty much to die. And later after that, you were told by doctors you needed to come back in to be checked for diseases. And when you went back, they diagnosed you with HIV. What were you thinking at that time?
I was like totally devastated. But the thing that caught my attention when the doctor said, Rhonda Jacobs, get up. And I looked up at him and I said, my name is not Rhonda. Now, how ironic is this? The young lady and I shared the same last name. Both of our sons were born May 20th And I said, my name is not Rhonda. And I remember him looking at the nurse and he looked at the charts and they was like, oh my God, we're so sorry. We're so sorry. We're so sorry.
Oh my gosh.
And I ended up with syphilis, but the young lady that was across the hall from me, she was the one that had the HIV.
Oh my gosh.
Oh wow. I mean,
the charts were switched.
Oh gosh. And what a scary thing. I mean, neither are great, but the one is a lot worse than another. And so in a way, it was a relief for you. You didn't have HIV. And so your life continued. And through all of this, you were still believing in God. And most people would have already said, forget God, it's all his fault, or been angry. A lot of people do that.
Right.
Why did you continue to believe there was a God and not get angry?
At that moment, I felt the presence of God around me. I remember even after I had just tore the whole room apart, I remember just falling on my knees. I remember just falling on my face, and the nurses were around me, and they were believers, and they were just worshiping and praising God with me. And all I could remember was saying, I remember my words vividly, and I said, for God, I die. For God, I live. Whatever it is that you want me to do, I will do it. Wow. And I just remember saying that, and that's all I could say. And I wasn't just saying it just to be saying it. I really meant it, you know, because I was just like, God, you brought me through so many storms. You brought me through beatings from my father and watching my mom getting beat every day, you know.
Wow. And, you know, it's so powerful to hear that because it's such a hard thing that you've gone through. But to get complete healing in your heart and soul, there was forgiveness that needed to be met, and there were things that happened in between. I know you ended up getting married and still were looking for your own identity, but through all of this, you were able to forgive your father. Tell me about that and how you got healing from God and restoration in your own life.
Well, it was a surrender of the heart for me. And just really, really getting in the presence of God. And I know people probably say that sounds cliche, but that really was what happened to me. I really had some encounters with God. I could tell you one where I was in the restroom one day and I remember just crying out to God and I could just hear his voice. But at this point, it was loud. It was just like, surrender your heart to me. I want all of you. And I just remember falling on my face once again, once Eric was born. And I remember just giving my heart to God. And I just say, you know what, God, I don't know how to do this. You have to show me how to do this, you know. Right. And then I just remember what Jesus did on the cross for me. He died for every sin. He was that sacrifice. And I just remember at that very, very moment, I said, you know what, Christ did it for me so that I could live. And I said, and maybe I'm doing this so someone else can live. You know, so at that very moment, I felt myself just wanting to take on the attributes of Christ. And I knew it would come with some things. And I knew it would come with a cost. And I said, you know, God, here I am. And I knew forgiveness had to take place. I forgave my dad and my mom. And I was able to go and look these people in the face, go to the prison and say, Dad, I forgive you. Go to the prison and tell these guys that raped me, I forgive you. So I was able to do that face-to-face encounter. It wasn't just, you know, well, I don't know where they at. You know, well, I'll just let it go and just, you know, because someone said you have to forgive. Right. And no, it was a true forgiveness because God had to teach me what that looked like, you know.
That's so powerful. And there are people listening who say, I would never forgive anybody for doing that to me, whether it was this person that raped me or a family member or whoever. And for the things that you have been through, and to come through with that revelation of, I'm going to forgive them face to face. What would you say to someone who's hurting, who's been raped or abused or mistreated, and they need healing in their heart, but they just can't let it go? They're angry, they're bitter, they want revenge right now because they're hurting. What would you tell someone right now?
What I would say is that we all have sinned, and I know that God is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all my unrighteousness, that I could go to him daily. And knowing that the awesome part about God forgiving is that in Corinthians, it says old things have passed away, and he said, I'm a new creature. You mean to tell me I don't have to be this person anymore? So if you say old things have passed away, behold, all things are new, I took on that. I wanted to become that new person. I no longer wanted to live in the pain body of, woe is me, this happened to me. Look what Jesus had to endure on the cross.
Right.
Look what he had to endure. You know, so who am I? Mm-hmm. Look what the prophets in the Old Testament had to endure. Look what Peter had to endure. He said, I'm not even worthy to be crucified the way that Jesus was. So crucify me upside down. And that's how I felt, you wow. know. So when I knew that God said, I would give you new life, I wanted that. Wow. I wanted to be a new creature. Wow. So old things are passed away. So why would I hold on to the old Ira? Why should I? Wow. You know, because you choose to hold on to the pain, you know. So as I matured in God and stayed in his face and fast and prayed, then that's when I begin to understand what forgiveness and love is, because without love, I'm nothing, you know. So it's because of God's love. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's good.
And I just want to say there's someone there that's listening, and God loves you just like he loves Ira and brought healing and forgiveness in her heart. And we're going to pray for those who need to surrender to Jesus and say, I can't do this on my own. I need healing. I want to be a new creation. I don't want to look back anymore. I want to look forward. Ira, thank you for sharing your story so that others can be healed.
Thank you so much for having me on, Kathleen. Thank you all so much.
Thank you. Amen. God bless Amen. You.
Well, Lord, this is a real moment. This is a real moment where there's so many who are listening and saying, I think that's me. I'm holding on to the old me, and all the old hurts are keeping me as the old me. And I want the new. I want something new, Lord Jesus. So I come to you. And I say, Jesus, I want to let the old go. I'm going to forgive the past, forgive those who've wounded me in the past. And I want the new me. I want the newness. I want the new good things, oh God, that you have for me. So Jesus, we release the old and we receive you as our Lord and Savior, because we want the new to come. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. If you receive Jesus in your heart, we want to pray with you. Please give us a call at 877-480-4477. Again, 877-480-4477. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.